Good morning and welcome to this edition of Brass Tacks Sunday for the 22nd day of April 2018. I'm your host and moderator. We go until 15 minutes after 1. Today we are looking at, is there fair play in the fair paid? And this comes directly off the start of collecting increased fares from school children in uniform. We had lots of discussion on this during the week, last week on Brass Stats, and we wanted to zoom in on the topic, to bring in the players, bring in the persons in the know, to discuss this issue with you, particularly the parents that cry out who have multiple children, some taking two buses to and from school, and they are crying out amid the hardship that prevails across the Barbados economy at this time. On the other hand, we have those from the private transport associations making the claim that the economic value versus what is paid to the public service vehicles cannot be sustained any longer, and therefore they must make this increase. We were promised a statement by the Minister of Transport and Works, Mr. Michael Lashley, on, I think, Thursday. Today is Sunday, haven't heard, but I will continue to reach out to him to see if we can get a statement, because he sent some messages to my colleague, Mr. Sanka Price, and myself, stating that all that was being said was not correct, so I wanted him to clear the air on his side as well. I want to start the program talking to the PRO, who is in studio already, as we wait for Morris Lee and another member of the association. We hope to be joined by the attorney on the line after church. But I want to start with Mark Haynes and give him the opportunity to present what you call the opening arguments in this judicious court of law called Brass Tacks Sunday this morning. And I want to also give you on the outside the opportunity to call and put your view on this very important issue. And you know the number 4341790, that's the number you can call, or you can send your WhatsApp to 266-4862. And I want us to look at this topic beyond the mundane increase of fees by 50 cents, but understand the importance to efficient public transport to the economy of Barbados. So I've set the ground. And before we go to the guests, I have to let you know this program is brought to you by Williams Industries Incorporated.
You do not have to be a roofing expert to know that a metal sheet will rust where it is joined. That is one reason why the beautiful Permaclad U-Panel and R-Panel roof sheet sold at Williams Metals will outlast other roofing materials. Permaclad, colorclad, and corrugated sheets are cut to the exact length that you will need, up to 40 feet and even longer. That means no joints from ridge to eave. Colorclad sheets come with a factory-painted finish in white, blue, green, red, brown, and yellow, and are fitted with screws for added resistance, tested to withstand high winds up to 130 miles an hour. Get a rail roof supplied at competitive prices, delivered to you today from Williams Metals. Simply call Williams at Kane Garden St. Thomas, 425-2000, or Lowlands Christchurch, 428-1500.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
We open the discussion here on Brass Tacks with Mr. Mark Haynes, Public Relations Officer. Good morning and welcome, Mark.
Good morning, Corey. Thanks for having me in the studio this morning. First of all, let me tender an apology for the absence of Mr. Roy Raphael, who will not be able to join us live here this morning, but he should be joining us online. I also tender an apology for Ms. Letitia Bourne, who's currently at church and has some other commitments. Against that backdrop, she would not be in attendance. So Mr. Morris Lee should be on his way in the studio along with Mr. Terry Jones. So I thought it fit I should tender those apologies accordingly.
So let's get down to brass tacks. This increase in fares, can you lay out in clear and concise terms to the listening public what's really going on? What's happening? School children in uniform always pay less than the adult population. And there's been this sudden change. So help the public to understand the genesis and the procedure and what really is going on and where we are going with this situation.
Corey, as I understand it, this is supposed to be a wide range of discuss aspects of the system that you'll be discussing, not primarily that of the bus fares. But let me respond immediately to your first query or question. By law, $2 is the fare payable for school children in uniform and that of the traveling public. What has happened over time is that persons in the industry had decided to offer a concession to the children in uniform, allowing them to pay $150, but by rights they should be paying $2. On the 17th of this month, when they resume school, it was felt that the sector could not have borne the cost any longer, and that gave rise to the sector reverting, as it were, to $2, which is stated in law. And I do not think that we were not acting ultra vires in law. So $2 is the fare payable for all persons, all commuters, that includes school children. So the $150 was basically a concession before.
Let me ask this question, because this came up in debate, because we had, I think, Roy Raphael and Morris Lee saying exactly what you say. We had a message, albeit not directly from the minister, saying, well, that's not entirely correct. And then I have this extract from November 22nd, 2010. So I'm going to read this extract, but I want to ask you or your association to provide where the public can go and look and see, because there's been this debate. And I know it's somewhere in black and white. I was looking for it, and this is what I found. From November 22nd, 2010, it says, commuters will be forced to shell out an additional 50 cents to cover the cost of bus fare as a result of government's new budget. Finance Minister Chris Sinclair has announced effective January 1st, 2011, bus fares will be increased by 50 cents per ride in the effort to improve finances at the Transport Board. This measure will add $8.4 million in revenue to the Transport Board, he said in his inaugural budget presentation to Parliament. He, however, announced an ease in fees levied on minibuses and route taxis from $3,625 to $2,250, respective, effective April 2011, making a loss of $1.2 million in government revenue. I want to go on to say, however, that Sinclair warned that these reductions will be performance-based, as operators will only be allowed to access these benefits if they demonstrate proper standards on public roads. Some of these will include the wearing of uniform by employees while on the job, a drastic reduction in traffic violations, the elimination of playing of loud and offensive music, and generally good deportment. The Association of Public Transport Operators has agreed to work with the Ministry of Public Works and Transport and the Royal Barbados Police Force to establish an appraisal system on which operators will be assessed and determined eligible for relief. I also said that effective the 1st of April 2011, government will also allow PSV employees to pay a flat lat license renewal rate of $80, thus bringing them in line with their counterparts. Now, the person sending this said, please share this with your listeners and residents and citizens of Barbados, as it would like school children to continue to pay $1.50 until this is sanctioned by the relevant authorities. So that is one side of it. Can you bring the legal side of it that the public transport operators are operating under?
Well, as it stands, I don't have the legislation here before me from which I can quote, but basically what you have quoted stands, and we do not know where this anomaly has come from. basically, as I said before, what we have done, we just resorted to the $2 full children in uniform would pay full $2 as required by law. Nowhere we saw in legislation that the children are supposed to pay $150 and others pay $2. And because of the increased costs, which includes operational costs, court costs, among other things that the sector continues to feel, that can no longer be borne, given the fact that the sector has not been given the concessions for which it already applied. And we thought that on the commencement of the semester that we will require the children to pay the $2 as opposed to $150. However, let me make this pertinent point for the record. We have taken the decision that school children in uniform who do not have $2 but have $150 will be allowed to still travel because we value the service of those commuters, and also we take into account that some parents are having challenges and so on. As we know, the economy is very contracted, and therefore we say that we will not refuse children who have $150, and if they get on the bus and say, well, look, I don't have the $2, we will not just put them off or leave them to stay at the various pools, because we take education as paramount and important. So that is a pertinent point that must be borne in mind. But children over time will be sensitized that $2 is what should be paid on their getting on various buses and so on.
I wanna go back to a couple of things you said so we can have this dialogue. These are questions that people have asked during the week. And the good thing about the WhatsApp, I'm able to pull up and read some of the messages that we're unable to read during the week. Now, you said that, as you understand it, that the bus fares by law is $2. And I would hazard to guess that the bus fare by law before was $150 when children were paying $1. Because as I understand it, there's a special provision for the elderly in the transport board system. There's a special provision for police officers, special provision, well, for senior citizens and so on, and it goes on like that. So I'm going to let that anomaly be corrected by fact. So I'm going to continue to reach out to get the legislation where that stands. But I wanted to make that point clear. The second point, and this is a point that a lot of people made during the week on the WhatsApp, and as I made my rounds around Barbados, they're saying that your association is saying that the operating costs of the public service vehicle has increased, increasing parts, increasing insurance. And what the general public has said to me via the forum that I explained to you is that when you overload, you put in more pressure on your parts and you're asking the public to pay for that. When you misbehave on the road and incur a lot of court costs, you're asking the public to pay for your misbehavior. How do you respond to that?
My retort to that is simple. We in the industry do not support bad behavior of no sort. We have and we continue to speak to the workers in the industry, and we always advise them to follow the law, follow the regulations, be of good behavior, and do not do anything that would incur costs on the industry. We are a responsible organization, and therefore we continue to reiterate this. As you would know, like anything else in any field or any sphere of endeavor, you would have persons who would do otherwise, sometimes out of line, and that is by no means condoned by us as an organization. When the public raises issues about the behavior of children behaving badly, as you alluded to earlier, and so on, we are saying that the public does have a right to make complaints once the public feel justified that those complaints are and that they are unfair, but those complaints are justified. We are prepared to say that the public does have a right to say that is not right. And therefore, the onus is on us to speak with the workers to ensure that they do what is correct and what is right, and we seek to reiterate what is correct. So we in no way condone that behavior.
We've been joined by Terry Jones. Alvin. Okay, Mark. Everyone, welcome to the studio. Good morning. Announce yourself. I see you coming. I want the public to be able to give you a warm welcome. Good morning and welcome.
Hello, good morning.
Tell me your name and your position.
Morning to the listening public. My name is Alvin Jones. I am a member of the Alliance group. And I you know, unfortunately, I cannot speak to this whole bus fare issue. Because I myself, I'm a little confused. And I was glad when I was driving here and I heard you say that the minister was supposed to clarify, because it doesn't make sense. We, you know, somehow we seem like if we hearing this, we hearing that. If we could get somebody to really clarify between the law or the cause. But what strikes me, and I don't know if it's really the correct medium, when you mention about the whole behavior, and with Mr. Sinclair mentioning something about getting benefits based on behavior and dress and all these other issues, the bottom line is this: it is very difficult for any association to be really able to control. When we hear people talk owners controlling workers, and that is not a straightforward thing, and that will never be seen to be dealt with in a nutshell. The reality is that Minibus was born out of the whole hustling thing. It's not nothing that it can't. The problem is to regulate it, and I like to hear these words, the regulators. You hear transport authority, you hear licensing authority, you hear the police, you hear all of these sectors and the insurances and what's not. But when it comes down to attempting to curtail any bad behavior, don't ask me, something goes wrong. You got the courts, you have everything in place. I have found that we have made, as a new group, we reached out and we very accommodating to the minister, was very accommodating. We had numerous meetings. We reached out and we explained our position. We cannot, even though we can hire fire, we've had situations where you have insurances that you will get rid of one guy and you go and another insurance and get covered and move from there. And nobody, don't care who you try. We have met with the head of the insurance companies. We've met with the grooming. We, as an organization, even though we would have the responsibility, we cannot control a whole vast of different owners with the strike of a pen. And Joe Public always sees that, because we always get winner. Whenever you hear any, oh, winner. How can you stop a problem now that clearly was there for the last, I don't know how long.
Over 30 years.
Over 30. You know,
I remember I born this problem was going on. But let me jump in here, because I've been biting my tongue. And just to ensure I have a tongue by the end of this program, right? I you bring guests in the studio, I want to be respectful to them. So everything that I say, I want y'all guys to understand, it is out of tremendous respect. But are you guys for real? No, let me tell you why I asked that question. No, Mark said earlier that the public has the right to say this is not right. The public has been saying so for about 30 years. We must go beyond that. And the thing about the association not being able to regulate that, I don't put it totally on the association, you know. I put it on the Ministry of Transport, on the judicial system, and the police. Mm-hmm. Because the system has been able to regulate the fact that I cannot use my phone in the car any longer. The things that they want to regulate, they regulate. Mm-hmm. You get where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
So I am saying that this situation is not rocket science to be arrested. I think that the willpower is not there to arrest the system. Because the association don't drive no vans. We cannot come in here and compare this to other profession where you say, oh, there are a few bad apples and things. Because that is the norm. It is the exception. People talk about Route 8 and Route 9. These people are known for the ones that behave a certain way. All the rest, almost all the rest, bad. The whole tree bad. With a few good apples, that is my. I travel these roads and I travel on ZRs daily. So I am putting my position not from something right here. This is a daily experience for me. You talk about valuing education. I cannot argue with the many teachers who say to me, listen, Corey, you see that ZR culture? Y'all just talk about that like it's frivolous, but it destroys the education system. A lot of teachers have told me over the years, it takes them past break time to settle children who travel to school in certain minibuses and vans in this country. You in a van, you jumping up and down, you dabbling up, you sitting down upon somebody, Lord knows what else you're doing. Sexual activity going on in the back of these vans and music and you're beating up. And when they get to school, this is what teachers tell me, not me, I'm a teacher, but they told me that these children can't function. By the time they settle, it's time to go home and get up on the same van. Tell me how this is a sector that is valuing education.
Corey, you are dealing with a societal problem, and I don't think right-thinking persons would expect or should expect that workers in the industry should behave badly or should behave badly and encourage our youngsters who are going to school to behave badly. We do not condone it. As a matter of fact, we are seeing improvement in terms of the behavior of many of the workers. We will have to report, it is true to report, that we have not gotten every single person on board in terms of deportment, but that we are working towards that end. And the association intends and is putting systems in place to ensure that the behavior is curtailed. We are looking at training programs for the workers, and because of the fact it's so societal, we know that training is paramount, and therefore this is something that the industry is seriously looking at.
I disagree. I think that implementation and enforcement was paramount, because it is my understanding that you have to get training in order to get a permit. I understand Transport Authority, they have these training sessions at BCC. And these people go to training, they probably nod their head and make some notes just so they can make some money. But if you don't have the enforcement behind that, we will continue to have this culture. Actually glad we move on from the bus fare and we go into the public transport. One of the proposals really is to privatize the whole thing. And the whole idea that we're discussing right now flies in the face of that. I want to talk about the concession and why the concessions were not given. Well, they were promised back in November 2010. There was supposed to be this appraisal system. Was it the failure of the Ministry of Transport? Was it the failure of your association to work with the police and the Ministry of Transport and Transport Authority to come up with this system? And the thing is, even if the system was put in place, I hear wondering if a lot of people will get concessions, because I can tell you the foul music still on the vans, the overloading still on the vans, going off-road still on the vans. Check the court system and see the number of cases that are dealt with in the traffic court, particularly relating to minibuses and ZRs. We are joined by Terry Jones this time. Good morning and welcome, sir.
Thank you, Corey.
You're taking in the discussion.
Yeah, I'm here in the role as technical consultant to the Alliance of Owners of Public Transportation, and I advise them basically on technical issues, using technology to improve their business. And I think that they're serious. They're serious about taking travel in Barbados to the next level and having a really well-regulated transportation system. Now, I don't think that we can solve all the issues that we have in the PSV sector overnight or even in a couple of hours. And I think why we'd like to see come up with this discussion is where we want to take transportation. And to me, I think that we in Barbados deserve a well-run public transportation system. And I know that a number of cars are being sold now because there are some persons who refuse to have to go and stand up in the bus stand for 3 hours after working a whole day. How can that person be productive at work the next day? So I think that we need to take the discussion in that direction. And if we zoom back into what we first started here with, which is the whole bus fare issue, and if we are asking the PSV owners to charge $1.50 for school children, who is going to pay the other 50 cents that is now also being paid to the transport board? Is it fair to ask the PSV owners, if at the end of the day we determine that $1.50 is the bus fare for school children, is it fair to ask them, not being subsidized in any form or fashion, to bear that 50 cents? What other business in Barbados is faced with that burden and can be asked to sell a product for less than the value? So those are questions, and that's why we'd like to hear the discussion framed around. What are the solutions?
My thing is, I want to start where you left off, and I want to say this. I believe that the problem can be solved in a few hours, because we have solved problems in this country in a few hours when we wanted to. Mm-hmm. It's simple as your association saying, listen, you see these bad apples? We will take your permits away. You see, when you hit the, and I don't care if there's lawyers, bank managers, politicians, take away those permits. Start taking away, because you're touching them in the pocket. You will see how fast this problem can be corrected. But you know what? Let's all admit to ourselves, we don't want to fix the problem. We don't. And when you talk about the 150, I agree. But the thing is, a caller said last week, and I agree, we get what we pay for. You see, the value...
That was actually me, Corey.
Oh, you see, we get what we pay for. I didn't even know what happened. You see, when you and again, I can put it on the side for me. Now, to me, it's between a rock and a hard place. Because if you go to the transport board, be prepared to work. You talk 3 hours, 4 and 5 hours waiting on a bus. But I don't want to get these other stand either, because it is the type of behavior. Then you go again, a van, a scotch round, and... people around me being asked to double up. So that means I should pay half the fare, because two people in one. So you actually getting $4 for a seat, not two. So we gotta meet each other halfway. I want to, at this stage, before I can let you continue, but we're going to open up the lines now. You should do it 20 past. It is now 27 past 11. You can give us a call and we go to the telephone lines. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Corey, are you on here?
Yes, please. Direct. Let's go.
This is Pierre for me. I want to ask you, any power there for the insurance company here?
No, you go ahead. Just ask a question.
I would like to know, the same way that we as commuters using we cell phone to take a lot of foolishness and put for social media, can the foolishness that the ZR drivers do, can we put that there on to send it to the insurance companies or to the police station? Them.
I would like to believe that they should be assisting. I remember that C.O. Williams had actually sponsored a program like that in terms of reporting bad behavior, and they had a hotline and everything. I don't, like most things in Barbados, Nine-Day Wonders. I don't know what became of that, but what are your guys' experience with that?
Well, you see, this is the thing, Corey. I mean, as you mentioned, this thing could be solved. But here it is again, with the technology, mm-hmm. which we know we have, as he's saying, we have begged. The problem is, we cannot take, we're not boy permit. Mm-hmm. We ain't issue no permit. You understand? So all the burden that, once we accept what we know we're dealing with, I keep saying these regulatory bodies are who, and we could sit down here with our cell phone, I could send X amount of information, but who we send it to? Are they responding? If you check, none of these are, like, somehow, to me, they like to know that, this is almost like a gun in the blood, and they like to know, I mean, the busman or operator is supposed to be like that.
Correct.
So sometimes when you're trying to talk to these people, they'll be like, well, almost like what you said, but it can't be for real. Mm. But that's how it's supposed to be. When you want her money, you got to be a rebel, a hustler, you got to bring money because of the system.
You make a good point, because those are the type of people that will continue to apply to the system. Nobody now coming out to university or saying, my desire, I want to be a conductor or a driver.
But they're
in a very serious industry, because it is a serious industry.
Nobody want the child come out to be the conductors and drivers. Yeah. Be like, you know what conductor look at me in the morning and tell me? I see mafia school, so I say, what happened here? We're very vexed. I didn't know if he came back home tonight. Because he got, no. I ain't saying that, but I mean, if he break the law, he did. Mm. But I'm saying that, them is the kind of people that come into work and interact with the public, and you're not going to they can obviously do them bad things because of the whole mentality. Because there's no training for many. This training thing to talk about, just like what you said, people are going, come back over here, you're going to bring X amount of money there and whatever. That is where everybody travel. When you're going to go downtown and you see people coming to you, can I help you? There's a commission base. Mm-hmm. But when you go other places, you got to be that the game flat. You got to look for somebody to help you. So you see, even though I am making excuses for the, right, I am making no excuses for that behavior. I'm saying that you have to restructure the whole majority of it so that a worker, a minibus worker, as you said, it would be more comfortable, a better environment. But to get that happen, we can use the technology, which we have, but we need these regulatory bodies on board. They will come and say yes.
But that's a good point you made.
Why would I do like sign public? I want that crossing guard. I would like you to be able to, what's got me is technology. Take out your cell phones or whatever medium you got, send it to, I don't know if you can do it, and get a response. Mm-hmm. I know CB or T whatever, and let me find out where, because we keep saying the minibus associations do this or the, mm-hmm. We cannot do those things with, we could talk to people, mm-hmm. but we need to get somebody on board that can cancel a permit or, mind you can hear it.
But as the association, y'all can't make those type of recommendations?
No, recommendations. We tired making them.
I think coming out of this program, one of the things I think that Barbadians listening can spread the word is that when we see this behavior on the road, we got to change the narrative and stop saying the ZR culture and the ZR drivers and things, start saying the transport authority. Mm-hmm. What would the transport authority do? If you start to shift the blame where it is actually, because the guys can only do what they get away with. Mm-hmm. You understand? That is my take.
But I don't know. I don't think we want Gandhi, blame shifting gear.
No. People don't like blame, but let me make this point. You see, that's the only way you get change. When you start to put pressure, I realize, right, mm-hmm. and I talk about it all the time, the Cahill, solid waste. I see Barbadians because I hit them in the pocket, mm-hmm. they turn up the ante, right, and mm-hmm. the authorities react. So if we got the ante right now point ZR drivers, and for my part, I don't care that it on them. If you could shift that ante now where it actually belongs and where change can come, then you get, because I ain't blame it for blame it, I blame it for change.
Right. Point taken.
Pressure.
But I just want to say that we hear so much bad behavior being reported, but we don't hear about the good behavior.
But
Some of these guys start at 5 in the morning, they mm-hmm. take people to work, and then they take them back home, and they're still working. And I witnessed up to yesterday, a conductor, take a lady's groceries and help her across the road, lift the groceries.
Deja vu.
Listen, what I'm saying is respectfully,
right? And I'm a very respectful person, right? But I hear all this before, because they just take you by your house when the rain falling, they just take the groceries, they just help you to stop by the gap when the bus is passing, when you're at the bus stop. But we you really feel we should spend time going through these things? Let me pat them on the back, but we got to fix the problems.
I'm not saying that as an excuse.
Y'all talk time, but let me talk about the good. The good don't need fixing. The problems are what need fixing.
No, but I'm saying that we can extrapolate the good elements out of the sector, mm-hmm. and embellish them. And if people can see that this is the way to proceed for the industry, then that is a way forward. But that was proposed since
2010 or before. Right, Remember the appraisal system that we talk about?
So I like then to come back to your point about the blame shifting. Mm-hmm. I mean, let me shift the blame to this thing, because we can't regulate ourselves. Right. I can't go in the bus stand and tell anybody anything.
Mm-hmm. Cannot.
I cannot. Mm-hmm. Who am I? I will get cussed. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, and I keep even hearing the argument whether you should have police in the bus stand all the time. Yes! Every organization operates by rules. Mm-hmm. Even the police have rules. The defense force has rules. You need to have the rules enforced. And to ask a driver and a conductor, it's not going to happen. You have an overcrowded bus stand. You have overcrowded routes.
Mm-hmm.
You have overcrowded routes. When is that issue going to be addressed? If you have too many vehicles on a route, you have problems. If you go on Silver Sands, you will see 3, 4, 5 vehicles pass you empty. What do you expect to happen? Are there too many vehicles on some routes in Barbados?
All right. Good morning. Carly, you still there? Good morning. Welcome down to Brass Stacks. Brass Stacks Sunday, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. We've just been joined by Morris Lee. Good morning and welcome to you too, Morris.
Morning to you and morning to Barbados.
All righty.
I really here listening to you all on this program, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I really can't leave it to motivate people. That's the honest of God truth. These know that these godly people is working on these roads.
Right. Right, you gone. Family radio, brass stacks all the time. Let's talk about I want to hear a comment on what he was saying in terms of he's saying 95% of the persons actually do a lot of foolishness on the road.
Yeah, but what does the caller suggest? Mm-hmm. What is the caller suggesting? We've just sat down here, and I'm sure when Mr. Lee comes on, he will highlight the whole chicken and egg scenario, that you've created an environment where people have to struggle to survive. So it doesn't make any sense coming here and telling us about the 10,000 things that you think the guys do on the road. We have created an environment for it to flourish. But how do we fix that environment? If we want to go in with the hammer and fully enforce, we could do that. We could bring out the bailiffs again, like how we brought them out the other day, and take everybody off the road. We can do that. How do we make this environment better for everyone? They are people too, and they have families to feed.
My thing is, and this is where I shift to the Transport Authority again, because the whole idea of the flat pay versus the commission, all that has been discussed ad nauseum. That has been discussed for years. We've put a lot of solutions from this association and other associations, but what I don't see is the implementation of it. And it has been proven to me recently that we can implement and enforce, take the cell phone law, take the seatbelt law. When we are serious about certain things, we can get them done. I can only draw the conclusion that we are not serious about this whole idea of the behavior of minibuses and ZR. Welcome, Mr. Morris Lee. I want to put something in you before you bring your opening arguments or statements to this court of law. This whole idea, we want to go about, because I know you're normally armed with the information. There's an anomaly in this law that I am seeing. I'm trying to get the minister on the line. I was messaging with him on Thursday. He spoke to my colleague Sank and I. Supposed to make a statement. Not getting him as yet. The whole idea is this $2 versus the $1.50. It's my understanding that bus fare was $1.50. And it was raised to $2. Anybody with a calculator understands simple math, that brings it to $2. But while it was at $1.50, school children were paying $1. So you would imagine that as you raise it by 50 cents, they would pay $1.50 and children would pay $2. I read from the budget speech, and the budget speech specifically talks about raising the bus fare by 50 cents. And I want to know where in the law that the association and the operators are operating under, which says that bus fare is to be charged $2 across the board. Because I understand it was always special provision for things like police officers, elderly, in the transport board system, and school children in uniform.
I want to first make reference to what I was told as the Transport Authority Act 2008, Cap 295A.
Could you repeat that again for those following?
Transport Authority Act, Cap 295A. And then there was an amendment done in 2012 under SI 55, SI 55, SI 56 of 2012. I don't have, I was unable to have an actual hard copy of it to read the specifics of it. But I'm sure that if that can be located on your website there, it should bring some kind of clarity to the issue.
All right, so I want you to go ahead and make a comment on all we've discussed thus far in relation to, we talked a lot about the association and the efforts of the association really to bring the sector in line with good behavior, good practices, and also a good economic model, because the question had been asked in relation to who pays this extra 50 cent if you guys continue to charge 150, and how can the regulators work with the industry?
I'm a little bit concerned that although a lot of fury has been directed in the direction of this 50 cents. Based on my understanding of what the regulations say, which is a $2 bus fare across the board, mm-hmm. for several years, the PSVs have used their discretion to charge $1.50. Nothing has been said about the several hundred operators out there that use their discretion when it comes to the transportation of school children. I saw a photograph, I believe it was on Facebook yesterday, where some very small primary school children were being taught under a tree. I believe it's in Catherine School. And those children from primary school admission up to almost secondary school, nothing has been mentioned that PSVs often don't take nothing from those children at all. So here is, we have in Barbados a situation where a business which receives no concession offers concession under a legislative fare. On my way down, because I was in and out of the vehicle trying to see if I could find some person to print off specifically what I made reference to, and Corey, I would have heard you mention about people being hit in the pocket and people doing a lot of foolishness on the road, and these bus permits being owned by lawyers and doctors and politicians. And
no, everything. He said they don't care if they're a thing. So let me just correct you there. I don't care who they own, but we need to enforce the law across the board.
But,
people often say, oh, it can't be done because.
We care who they're owned by.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, I've grown tired of seeing people going around the mountain doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is, we have cameras on stoplights in Barbados. We have a very active social media. I'm saying that where we see reckless behavior on the roads every day by certain PSV operators, we have enough evidence there to rein in on those that constantly break the law. But when you take the decision to take away some person's permit, let me remind you and those that are listening that if a driver goes out there and he breaks the law, he is caught on camera, etc., and you go and take away the permit of the owner, you've done nothing to improve the system. Because the worker that get, the owner who loses his permit, his bus is parked under a tree somewhere. But the driver that committed the recklessness goes and works for another operator. So what have you done to the system? Have you improved it? If you take away 100 of them 700 permits out there from people whose buses are seen doing recklessness on the road, essentially, the 100 drivers that were driving those vehicles, gone driving, the other 600 that left back.
I won't beg to disagree with everything you say.
No problem, sorry.
And let me bring, and the disagreement.
No, wait, before you say something, I am not here to condone reckless behavior of any sort. And I've said this repeatedly over the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Recklessness deserves no defense, regardless of which industry it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So I am not a supporter of reckless behavior. What has happened in Barbados is a system, a policy, that regardless to who is controlling the reins of government, often subscribe to a policy that has not worked.
Correct.
And it has bankrupt this country.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I will say to you is that we talk a lot about this $2 bus fare. I mean, in all fairness, How much is $2 worth in Barbados right now? I mean, to, for anything at all. How, what can you purchase for $2 in Barbados?
Wrong mix.
Right? The bottom line is that until we realize that we have an expectation of a Mercedes ride with a Mini Mark. And the bottom line is that for the last 25 years, public transport, particularly the policy as it relates to the transport board, is the reason why Barbados has been battered with these 20 plus downgrades. Over the last 20 plus years, the policy dictated, and this was subscribed by both governments, that we have a transport board. A young gentleman who is an aspiring politician said that the transport board does not have to own a bus in order to be involved in transport. Unfortunately, he was thrown under the bus. But what I will say to you, sir, is that over the last two decades, we saw it fit as a nation to put over $1 billion in subsidy into an entity in a system that is not working. $1 billion in Barbados currency is tantamount to $500 million US. What would the Minister of Finance or the Prime Minister or the incoming government or the outgoing government, what would they do if they had $500 million in the foreign reserves? We would not be running to give away the Hilton or BNOC. We would not have any need to divest ourselves of the family silver. Where would Barbados be today if we had $500 million US in foreign reserves? We would have a much healthier economy, and by extension a much healthier nation, because essentially what we are seeing is the implosion of our goods and services that we as a country have accustomed, you know.
Let me ask you to stick up in there, because that's going on to something else, but a discussion that I have a lot of time for. I want to respond to what you're saying. And the whole idea, again, is not to condone bad behavior, but it's how do we flesh out these solutions so that we can know where we are lobbying and where we are going. Because I believe that a lot of the time why these things turn out to be talk shops is because we get together and we talk, we disagree on some things, we agree on some things, but then we don't lobby. We don't advocate. We don't petition. Mm-hmm. And I think that we, the people, you see them three words, very powerful words, you know. Mm-hmm. We, the people, mm-hmm. have got to stick it to these people in terms of your interest. You have a vested interest in this sector. Mm-hmm. It is therefore important upon you to ensure that you put these solutions to the powers that be and get the public behind you, because that's how you get momentum in this country. Mm-hmm. I am young, but I have learned that in a very short space of time. Mm-hmm. When you see people raise up together, the people start to pay attention. Right. Now, in relation to the traveling public, and my another colleague here made the similar point in terms of people not speaking about the good, I don't think it is reasonable for us to expect the traveling public to look at these little good things when there's so much bad and so much discomfort while they are traveling. I am not saying they should not be highlighted. I always encourage my colleagues in the media, the senior ones, to ensure that there are spaces actually carved out to highlight the good in this society. Mm-hmm. Because highlighting the good inspires others to do good. When people know that good is going on. Just I let you finish, and when you let me go through the points, and then you can attack and come down the line. The other thing about the cameras, right? Apart from having cameras, every human being have two eyes in their head and two ears, and they see. But I want to locate the problem where it actually lies. We call it blame earlier, but I want to talk now not about blame, but responsibility. Our two eyes, along with the police two eyes, make reports daily. The police complain that they give a guy a number of charges. That guy's still on the road. That guy got 130 charges. And we could break that down, because the time is not as much as it sounds, because not having a badge is a charge, this is a charge, the door is a charge, a fire extinguisher is a charge. So it really adds up and looks like a large number when it's not that really, many charges. But they say they take these people to court, they get a slap on the wrist. And then the judiciary complains and says, well, look, this is the law we got in front of you, but this is what we're working with. So they're passing the buck each time. So, but I am letting the buck stop at the Cabinet of Barbados, the Ministry of Public Transport, and the Transport Authority. So let me take the responsibility now. It should really lie with the people who driving and conducting these vehicles, because at the end of the day, they are adults. But we understand the culture and system that we work in. We look at the restriction of the police and also the judiciary. So let's go to the legislators, the Cabinet of Barbados, the Parliament of Barbados, and the Ministry of Public Works. Moving on again, in terms of not agreeing with the solution. Now, I put a solution on the table. You don't have to be fully agree with it in terms of taking where the permit. Are you saying the driver going on to work with another operator? Mm. No, that operator will have to be an idiot, because if we in the mode, right, of taking where permits for bad driving, hire he then. Hire he, if you got sense. Because we can take where yours too. Mm. Until then, we got coaches type system running in Barbados then. Mm. My thing is that we are not willing, and you talked just now about doing the same thing the same way, expecting a different result. We got to do something different. So we need to try something like that. I ain't backing off that point, because I know how human beings work. Human beings work based on consequences. Once there are consequences, we react differently. And the last point I want to make before, because the other things we made was a little off this particular topic. How much $2 is worth? I can go even further. How much 50 cent is worth? Mm. But when I look on here and I see the hundreds of messages that come in here, it is coming from people who I assume face genuine hardship. They got 4 children, right? Taking 2 buses. Mm. So it ain't about the 50 cent. It is about the 50 cent multiplied by 2, multiplied by 4, multiplied by 5 daily. Mm. So it's not 50 cents anymore. Mm. And that is where I think we got to go. There are some people who can't afford it. Because as a time, some people here say, you know, these school children are going $200, $300 bags, $500 shoes, $1,000 phone. But I ain't focusing on them. Mm. I'm focusing on the ones who really can't afford it. And I think that transportation in a country needs to be well regulated and properly done. Because transportation is not just a luxury. It is an economic activity. You have to be able to move people from home to work, from work to home, from home to school, to create productivity in the economy. You guys are part of a very important system. People look down on the public transport system, ZRs and conductors. It's like almost talking about a druggie. It's not something that people look up to or aspire to as a career, but transport is a very serious and important career in any economy.
That's a quick foolish question, Corey.
Well,
if an airline has a pilot that flaunts the rules, do they ground the plane?
Do they get rid of that thing, right?
How can you seriously, because you said we ain't serious, how can you seriously tell me that a driver, I don't know, I got 5 buses, I used to drive, how, you come, you went to the insurance, they give you the pass, I know you went training at BCC, university, a minibus driver. How, what happens if he just had a mission, or why the penalty got to be on the driver, Corey?
Not on the driver, on the owner.
If I keep hiring,
correct.
Repetitive bad drivers, I can understand
because
that.
Because I can tell any infringement by an airline is bare on the airline. American Airlines getting here late the other day, as I understand it, because they had some cargo up on there, and the whole plane they can't get anything off of that plane to the pay that
fight. But
no, you see, you operate the radio station the same thing. We operate under license. Airlines operate under license, and if they flaunt that license, because the understanding when these permits first came out is supposed to be operator operated, but right. It is because you hear what they call operators. Them in the background, right? Then got other people operating for them. So you got to tap the permit to the vehicle, which is linked to the person.
I understand that, you know. So, I understand that.
So we got to get serious.
I got no problem with
this.
That. But
this
I am
is
saying,
a real serious thing.
Yeah, I understand that. But I am saying we can, again, as I keep saying, these regulatory bodies have the information.
And they need to deal with the drivers.
You cannot drive a minibus unless, to get a license, you got to control the relevant. And you got insurances that running from, you could run from one insurance to the next. Those are the way to go. As I said, if you repeatedly keep hiring the same type of drivers, I could see over 3-4 that you could decide, well, look, we could train you with the permit, but you cannot seriously expect to just on a one. I just say, yeah, you got to get them and do things. But you still got to remember You want to do no fear.
Correct. No, about fairness, fairness. About well thought thing. I talk about bringing on the well. Anyway, yeah, 6 minutes before noon, we've laid our experiences. We want to hear your experiences and some solutions as we continue this edition of Brass Tack Sunday, brought to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated.
Now is the time for you to fence your property with galvanized green, white, or brown chain link fencing and our brown band galvanized pole pipes, which are the longest lasting. We will give you a free estimate too on all your fencing materials. So building supplies, big or small, at Williams Metals
we have it all. At Williams Metals we have it all. Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
This is Brass Tack Sunday, brought to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated. Let's go to the telephone lines. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, sir. Gentlemen. Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Hello.
Good morning. Good morning. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning. Y'all are gentlemen. Gentlemen. Everybody looking at me to reply.
Good morning to you, sir.
Am I on the air?
Live and direct. Loud and clear.
Very much so.
Bear with me, please, right? No. I find all the excuses being used. It's surprising that you're all intelligent gentlemen for everything and saying, don't cast no blame here, don't cast no blame there. But everything y'all have said so far, when y'all analyze it, y'all are saying, but you're all casting blame all the time, but you know what y'all are not doing? No, you know what I should have said first? I should have said, well, if the law is not in writing for the 50 cents and that you all decide not to charge the people, I agree with you all for taking back your 50 cents because other persons have done it. All I see wrong with that is that you all talk about economic times and you all push it to the people at the wrong time. You all did the right thing, but at the wrong time. You all took back what was yours or stopped giving away what you all wanted to. That is all I can say about that part. But however, the part that I'm speaking about, forgive me for speaking so fast because I don't want to stand so long, right? The part we all cast and blame, you all doing it all the time. And it surprises me the intelligent people that y'all are doing it. You know why? Who is the person who have to interview or check out the potential drivers and conductors? I don't care where y'all come in. You know, yes, the police is there and the relevant authorities to do the thing when it comes in to break the law and thing. Who employs these persons? You just said, some person just said about a pilot. Well, when that pilot, they don't take away the plane, they don't ground the plane. But when does that pilot play the fool? Do whatever he had to do, even drinking. When he go for another job someplace at another airline, what do they do? Do they check out that person? And if they try to employ that person, because of the laws with the pilots and the airline, it's more stringent than what you're speaking about. Right now we have mini bus drivers and conductors that breaks the law, and how do you all check them out? Y'all are putting weapons, because I call these persons weapons, along with a more terrible instrument, which is the van that they're driving. So y'all are employing people that y'all know of. And if y'all are not checking them out, something is seriously wrong with y'all. So don't tell me one and all the excuses when I come for the night time. It is sad that y'all intelligent men are there doing it and talking about doing cast blame. Y'all don't regulate. You all could employ them or don't employ them. Y'all need to check them out before y'all put them on the road to be instruments of death, disaster, distraction, whatever comes along with it. Thank you.
I just want to respond to that caller, Corey. There seems to be some misnomer out there, right? That there's an avalanche of persons within the NDPSV industry, right? Some of the operators will tell you that they have parked their buses for weeks sometimes.
Months.
Because they refuse to let certain people drive their buses. So what you're left then is the best of the
worst of the best,
what you want to put it. You understand? So this painstaking stuff, nobody don't take a $200,000 investment and put it in somebody's hand for them to go and do recklessness on the road. But you have to understand that there is a shortage of drivers. There are not enough drivers to go around. And when a guy, you discipline a guy today, he goes and picks up another bus tomorrow and pass you and blow the horn and laugh at you. You gotta understand that you invest in all this money, right? And you can't find a decent, despite the unemployment situation in Barbados, you can't find anybody to drive your bus